You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode has been made in partnership with Danone. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, broadcaster, and I'm a gastronaut. Now, I'm a bit of a data geek, so I do love a food label, and labels are back on the political agenda in a big way. The UK government is chewing over the results of its front-of-pack nutritional labelling consultation and considering whether to tweak the traffic light system. It's been 8 years since red, amber and green lit up the front of our packaging, and you probably remember the flurry of primetime TV ads at the launch encouraging us to cut the junk. But you don't need me to tell you that obesity remains a huge and growing problem. So is the traffic light system fit for purpose, and how might it be improved to encourage us to make more healthy choices? Well, I'm joined by Rachel Bradford, Nutrition Policy Manager at Danone, which is supporting an alternative system they believe could be the answer. Welcome, Rachel.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, labelling is a huge and crucial issue. How long has it fascinated you? Have you always been someone who reads the small print?
Yes, as a nutritionist and technical person by background, I mean, consumer behaviour information is really, really intriguing to me. And actually, it reminded me that I did my university dissertation in knowledge of labels of sixth form students. So even back in the day,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, before I was an official nutritionist and registered, it's always fascinated me because I think there's a real mismatch. There's a wealth of information out there. There's lots of information on pack. It's there, it's provided. But do people use it for one? Do they know how to use it? Do they use it in the best way that they can? So lots of things going on there. It's not a simple topic, which always makes it a bit more exciting.
Well, it's a combination of sort of nutrition, psychology, sociology, and commerce, marketing, and all sorts going on. So, Rachel, you and Danone have got something quite exciting that you're working on. Can you tell me all about it in a nutshell?
Yes. So it's a front-of-pack nutrition label called NutriScore. And what it does essentially is converts the nutritional value of a product into a letter and a colour. And it does this by scoring a food from A, which is green, to E, which is red. So we should be eating a lot of, to we should be potentially eating less of. The system used to rank the foods is based on the Food Standards Agency nutrient profiling system, so used also in advertising. And at a glance, it gives consumers what they should be eating in abundance and what they should be moderating.
Okay, well, look, the current traffic light system has been around for a few years now, it was a painstaking process to put together, 20 years of arguments, thousands of research hours. So let's pick it apart a little bit. What is it about the traffic light system, the current one, that you like?
Yes, so I think just based on your last point, I'll point out no system is perfect. There is no one system that is the silver bullet to this obesity crisis.
Nobody was ever going to be happy with how it works.
Exactly. Really. And like I said, a lot of work into it, and there are a lot of good points around traffic lights. So we're not debating that traffic lights aren't good. They are good. But obviously what we're trying to do as a company is to bring NutriScore to the table, to light. And the evidence has currently shown that it outperforms other nutrition labels. But what we do know about traffic lights and what worked really well with consumers is, as you said, they've been around for a long time. So consumers are familiar with them. And we know that obviously familiarity is beneficial for consumers. Also consistency. We know now that they are covered on around 2/3 of food products that consumers will see. So therefore you get that consistency. They're seeing it in all the different shops that they shop in. Yeah. They're getting used to it. And all the major retailers and manufacturers have adopted them. We also know from the research that the consumers like a hybrid label which combines text and colours. Colours are key in this. Mm-hmm. We know that colours are very simplistic. It's very much at a glance, boom, you know, I can see what that means and what that relates to. There's no kind of interpretation needed within that.
Yeah.
But also we do know for specific consumers who might be looking at blood sugar levels or calories, salt levels, that they're really useful for specific nutrient needs as well.
Yeah. Okay. So there are lots of good things about them. And as you say, they were never going to please everybody completely. But where do the problems arise? Is it that you think the health messages behind it, the stuff that's not actually written there, is actually out of date, or that people don't really understand it? Where does it go wrong? Where does it go a bit floppy?
So what we know from the science is that with traffic lights, because there is text information, there's number information, and there's colour information, it can be quite overwhelming for consumers. And that's specifically for maybe the lower socioeconomic groups. And obviously, we know that's usually where obesity is most prevalent. So for us as a company, it's really important that we target those groups. And consumer research shows that, you know, it requires a level of translation. So you go into the store, you look, okay, so there might be a variety of colours. It might be red, amber, green, green. I then need to interpret that as an individual. Is that healthy or not healthy? And, you know, the person after me and after me, they'll all have different interpretations of that. We also know that consumers are put off by the percentages. So a lot of us see a percentage and just go, what does that mean? I don't understand. Like, how do I build that up over a day? Because once again, we want to not talk just about foods in this. We want to talk about whole diets. So if I have 20% for breakfast and then a 5% snack and then a 13% for lunch, it requires a level of adding up during the day. Also with portion sizes, because the numbers are done on a portion basis, then obviously you need to kind of do a calculation throughout your day to say, right, this many grams for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. So there are some issues on there that the science shows consumers do find confusing, and it does require a bit of a higher cognitive load because it's not a translational symbol. There is some kind of mental capacity that's needed to use when you're in store, which obviously if you have kids, if you're in a rush and you know you've got someone pulling your leg, it's not that simple, quick and easy to use at the time.
And I mean, nutrition is extraordinarily complex. It's different for different people, different for different lifestyles, different for different phases of your life and things like that. So there, one simple system, it solves lots of problems, but it causes some other ones as well. But you're bringing in the idea of something different. This is the Nutri-Score system, and the idea is to simplify things down to an overall single score rather than individual scores for sugar, fat, salt, saturated fat, calories, and things like that, which as you say, are very, they're all actually very complex issues in their own right. So what's the advantage of more simplification if it takes away detail?
I'll start with the Nutri-Score system in itself. So it's a label that takes both the negative nutrients per se, so things that we need to reduce, energy, fat, saturates and sugars, salt, and then it takes positive nutrients as well. So that's fiber, fruit and veg, protein, things like that. And then essentially you get points. So there's a range. So if you have less of those points, you get less score. If you have more of those, you get a higher score. You basically do a quick subtraction and then it gives you an overall number. And then this number is ranked to whether you get an A, which is green, which is meant to be one of the healthiest foods, to E, which is a food that we should be maybe consuming a bit less often. And that's the kind of treat occasion we have.
Yeah.
So the system it's based on is based on the Food Standard Agency nutrient profiling system. So many people who work in industry are well aware of this, because this is also the systems that's used for advertising to class a food as healthy or non-healthy. And it's also being used in the upcoming policy restrictions on promotions, locations and advertising. So we also like it in that sense because it's the same model that's being used in other policy areas. So for us in industry, but also from a consumer point of view, it's kind of one model that it's being based on rather than a differing model. And then what we like of it in terms of how it looks is that obviously the study shows that interpretive labels are much easily better understood by consumers, because once again, that kind of cognitive load is taken out. You know I see green A. Oh, okay, I can go to town on that. That's absolutely fine. I see a red E. Oh, okay, it's Friday night. It's a treat. It's fine. But maybe I shouldn't be having this every day, twice a day. Colours, as I said, with traffic lights, they're really good. Consumers get colours. Colours are easy and simple. And studies have also shown that the summary information is also really good. So once again, not having multifaceted labels, so percentage RIs, grams, portions, it all just gets a bit confusing. So the simplistic nature is a benefit for the majority of consumers. And obviously the holistic nature of it, it takes positive and negative nutrients into account.
It's a really interesting approach, isn't it? So deciding the healthy score is the crucial bit though, isn't it? So something might be high in salt and saturated fat, but might have, so have lots of protein in the right amount that might be beneficial. You know, salted peanuts, for instance, are great in some ways and negative in others. So how do you work out the scores? Who decides whether it's nutritious or not?
Yeah, so as I said, this is great in the sense of it was developed by the Food Standards Agency. So it is a score that's been around for a long time.
So it's not something that's just come up out of nowhere that you've been pottering with. It's based on decent research that's already there.
Yes, so academics and scientists long time ago developed the Nutrient Profiling System, or NPM, as we like to call it for short, and it has previously only been used in the UK for advertising. Mm-hmm. So where obviously you have a child audience, unless you are classed as healthy under this nutrient profiling model, which is obviously based on the scoring, will you be able to advertise to kids? So it's been around for a while. We know it and we already use it in some senses. And what's happening is we're seeing more policy coming out where they are using this model as a basis. So for us, it aligns the policy that's being made as well as the front of pack nutrition information criteria, which isn't currently the case.
Yeah. Now, just to make it clear to everyone who's listening, the current system has one big problem, is that, and that is that certain foods get a bit of a kicking. So, I absolutely adore cheese. Now, cheese, you know, if you look at a package of looking at cheese, obviously it's going to come up really badly. It's as healthy as a bar of chocolate. But we all know it's some cheese. Don't eat too much cheese. But that's sort of not the point. I love chocolate too as well, so that's not the problem. But how will your system help to avoid demonizing certain foods? Obviously this podcast, you know, goes out to food producers and food companies, and they've had particular problems with the traffic light system. So I think they're really interested in something that takes into account the fact that different foods have different sort of lives in your fridge and in your diet.
And it's a really interesting question, and I think that could potentially be an issue with the Nutri score, in the sense of it's a red and it's an E. So there's always going to be a scale. So mm-hmm. people in their minds are always going to grade things. And, you know, rightly so, there are some foods we should be eating in moderation. But I think what would be key for us, you know, whichever scheme the government decide is the best one, whether that's traffic lights, Nutri score or another, there needs to be a really comprehensive educational program behind it. Because for us in Nutri score, red and E isn't don't eat meat ever. It isn't no, stay away, back off. It is a, you know, just think about when you're eating this. Be a bit more mindful when you're eating this. Have it a bit more in moderation. Let's say if it's Friday night down the pub and you're having some peanuts with friends, that's okay. You know, it just shouldn't be something. And it should just be that trigger in your mind to say, I shouldn't be having this a lot and all the time.
Don't eat the whole cake.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where a lot of other things we can, you know, as we said at the beginning, can come into play. So portion size awareness, you know, once again, it's fine to have some chocolate and cheese, but don't eat the whole wheel of cheese. Mm-hmm. Don't eat the whole bar of chocolate. You know, linking it back to the Eat Well guide that we have in the UK and trying to get that balance. So it's much more for us an education piece that needs to go alongside whichever scheme is picked and kind of drawing everything together.
Yeah. It also goes back to this concept, you know, there's no such thing as a good or a bad food. There's just a decent or an indecent diet that's either helping you or not helping you. But as humans, we're programmed sometimes to be a bit negative. So are you concerned that some people kind of, rather than eating a healthy diet, they would just avoid the red things, you know, avoid the butter and the cheese, which isn't necessarily the best thing for a diet. So how do you factor it in that some people might just avoid red foods rather than going for green? Is that part of the system that you're planning?
It's a very interesting question. And once again, I think it comes back to education, because some of the consumer data shows that with the products that would inherently fall into the red area, mm-hmm. consumers know already. If you're going in to buy a sweet treat or something a bit more indulgent, then consumers know in their minds.
Let's face it, there are not that many people who eat sweets and think this is really good nutrition.
Exactly, exactly. So for us, once again, it's all about the education and it's all about the wider things we can doing, because as I said, labeling isn't going to solve this. No one single label is going to solve the obesity, you know, crisis that we're in, but it's all about promotions, education, cooking lessons. It's about the wider scope to say, you know, having that balance, you can have those things. It's not about being restrictive, but it is about just knowing and being a bit more mindful, understanding, you know, healthier options being more, you know, easily available and accessible, you know, knowing how to cook and use it and store and all those kind of things. So I think education probably is the biggest part of that.
That's cash, structure, thinking, complexity, and all those things. But elements like this feed into it and allow people to have a basis for that education to happen. Okay, so are there specific nutrients and compounds that you want to increase in people's diet as a result of the NutriScore system?
So for us, what we like about the NutriScore is that it is a holistic system. So, you know, I do feel like we get into this media cycle of fat's bad for you, sugar's bad for you, saturated fat's bad for you, salt fat bad for you. So I think as a nutritionist myself and from a personal point of view, what I'd really like to see where we get to is a holistic picture of food, because once again, we don't eat nutrients. That's not what we eat. We eat foods. You know, we're out with our friends and family. We're not thinking about saturated fat levels. We're thinking about, you know, the whole package kind of thing. So I guess we like NutriScore in the fact that it does include those positive nutrients. And that is something that we haven't seen before in the UK, because it is usually nutrient specific. That's not to say we shouldn't be reducing that saturated nutrients, but I think it's more of a balanced process, because if you think of nuts, for example, great source of protein, but once again, also very high in fat. And obviously if they're salted, roasted, all those kind of things, they'll be high in salt as well. So it's about the balance and trying to move the system into a much more holistic idea rather than kind of demonizing single nutrients.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, why do you at Danone support this? Will your own products appear differently within this new system?
So at Danone, we support whatever the UK government decide. As I said, we're not opposed to traffic lights in any way. We just believe that NutriScore should be brought to light and to top of the conversation, because we know traffic lights so well. Mm-hmm. We kind of wanted to give it its fair share of voice during this consultation. But we're really committed to bring health to as many people as possible through the food, because we do believe that when people pick the food that they do, that they are making a choice.
Yeah.
So for us, it's about us trying to make healthy products, but also enabling the consumer to be equipped to make those choices with themselves. As I said, if it's an indulgent occasion, fine. If it's a daily occasion, you know, can you use the information that you're provided to make the best choice?
Yeah.
So we do believe that the evidence shows NutriScore can empower consumers to make the healthier choices, especially in this pandemic, post-pandemic era we find ourselves in, where health is so important, even more so than ever. And also, as I said, for those lower socioeconomic groups, where we want to show that nutrition labels can be used quite easily. NutriScore has been shown to be used very widely by those groups and outperforms other labels. So we will follow whatever the government recommends, and we will back that fully. And we do believe whatever scheme is picked should be supported by an educational program. And that's something we're very keen and interested to do. But yeah, we do believe currently the evidence shows NutriScore does outperform the other nutrition labels.
And what I'm interested in is this idea that it's not just a novelty that Danone is sort of playing with because as a distraction from something else. I mean, it's actually being used. So the system's in use in Germany and elsewhere already. Has it changed how people shop? And do you know anything about how, you know, has it changed nutrition and diets?
Yes, we've got some really interesting studies, actually, because what is always interesting is, you know, like I said, we don't have it in the UK. We do have another system. So to see what it does in other countries is always really interesting. So studies have shown in countries where NutriScore has been adopted is that consumers do modify their purchasing behaviour using NutriScore, even with limited implementation. So they're using the NutriScore to change what they're buying. The studies also show that NutriScore impact all socioeconomic groups. So therefore, and this impact increases over time, younger populations and those with lower socioeconomic groups are using it beneficially, which is great news. And it also shows that it causes long lasting changes. So it's not just a moment in time and then forgotten about. We were seeing in studies that consumers were using it on an ongoing basis to compare products, to choose the healthier products, and that these were long lasting behaviour changes.
Okay, now it took 20 years, thousands of research hours, we mentioned this earlier on, to get the old traffic light system. Do you think that it's a long road to get manufacturers to switch, to put that into effect and put it on their labels?
It is. I mean, simple, short answer. And, you know, we're all feeling the pinch at the moment with Brexit, post-pandemic, everything going on, restrictions coming up. There's a lot of burden currently on industry. But all the industry partners I speak to and I know of all want what's best for the consumer. You know, we know that health isn't a trend anymore. It's part of people's lives. It's what people want. So therefore, it only serves us to provide healthier options and to do the right thing by the consumer. You know, as businesses, you know, we're kind of entrenched in consumer research and what consumers want and what they need. So I think it will be a long, hard slog, but I do believe that if it's the right thing to do and the evidence is there to say it will benefit consumers and it will help us rise to this obesity challenge and it will just be one more tick in the box to kind of tackle that, then there will be a want and a will from industry to do it.
Okay, so let's be realistic here. I've been talking about healthy food for 15 years. Many people have, Jamie Oliver and I mean, literally everyone on telly has been talking about eating better. It hasn't really, well, maybe it's made things less bad, the effort that everyone's put in. Do you think that this system is likely to change our relationship with food to a healthier relationship? I mean, again, I know you mentioned it's about education, but do you think that this is a fundamental building block?
I hope that because of its holistic nature, that it will once again kind of change the way we think about food. As I said, we don't eat nutrients. We do eat foods. And also, I'm a foodie as well. Food should be there to be enjoyed. It shouldn't be something that we punish ourselves for or something, you know, we kind of use against ourselves. So I hope that it's a very small step towards, once again, that holistic picture. Because once again, we talk a lot about the bad. We talk a lot about what we should be taking away, what we shouldn't be doing. This is bad. This is this. But let's start talking about the good things. We know consumer behavior. If you tell people they can eat it and it's good for them, you know, they'll want to eat more. People want to be told they can eat more. They can do more of this. They can have more of that. They don't want to be told, no, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So I do hope that in some ways it might change thought processes around food and it won't be nutrient specific. It will be more holistic around foods and diets.
Well, it could be very exciting. And as you say, it's a step. It's a step and you know, we need lots of steps and maybe people will start climbing those flipping stairs. So what's next for Danone?
We will wait for the UK government consultation and see what they come out with. We're very excited about that, to hear what they come out with. And then for us, as I said, whatever scheme is decided, it will be the best scheme that the evidence the government have looked at and all other considerations have been taken into account. But for us, you know, I've banged on about this a lot, is about the education. So how do we not just maintain the status quo? How do we, if we stick with traffic lights, how do we get consumers to understand it better and kind of overcome some of those challenges that we have with it? If we move to a new system, how do we kind of use this as a fresh start to say, hi guys, this is here, let's use this and, you know, have the supportive educational program around it through all ages, stages, people using it. And also let's use science to make policy, use learnings, let's showcase things that are working well. And then once again, you've got a great industry powerhouse who really want to be doing the right thing and really want what's best for consumers. So, you know, we're here, we're open to talk to, and we're willing to do things and to engage to help consumers make the better and healthier choice.
Fantastic. Well, Rachel Bradford, a Nutrition Policy Manager at Danone, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters, and this one's been in partnership with Danone. If you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from food standards to lab-grown meat. Recent highlights included editions on the government's obesity strategy and the world of food health claims. Follow us to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatterslive.com. Thank you so much for listening.